Father, we pray, we thank you for your word, God. It's extravagant. Lord, it's over the top, Father. It allows us to see us for who we are. Help us to look in your mirror today, not the mirror that the world teaches us to look into. No mirror of condemnation, guilt, unbelief, doubt, but in the mirror of your word, Father, help us to be reflecting what you say about us and build the confidence within each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 3 and our continuing discussion in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 beginning in verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So Paul begins this section of Ephesians. He's done a very good job of explaining our position. He's done a very good job of explaining grace through faith. And now he begins to enunciate this wide open thing that God did. You know, when God sent his son, he didn't send him just for a specific group of people. God sent his son to the world. And any time that we make divisions or that we make exceptions, we do harm to the kingdom of God. I mean, you know, God died for the Muslim. God died for the Catholic. God died for the Mormon. You know, all he's asking them to do, Jesus is asking them to do is believe in me. I'll take care of that religious nonsense if you'll just believe in me. So Paul begins this section. He goes, what reason, for this reason, and I say, what reason? The church is the manifestation of Christ on the earth. If you look at the verse 22 in Ephesians 2, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. When God wants to draw the lost to him, he says, look at my church. There are no more mountain experiences. People aren't going to see the manifest presence of God. Peter and John aren't seeing the transformation of Christ on a mountain. There's no more going to a mountain burning with fire and shaking. There's no more going to a temple and going into the Holy of Holies to talk to an ark. No, God is dwelling in his church. You and I are the manifestation of God. If we look in the mirror of the world, we're weird. If we look in the mirror of the world, we're different than everybody else. But we're different than the sinner, but we are what is God wants to emulate. He wants us to be the example, to be a light to him. We're the ark. We're the mountain burning with fire. Each one of us is a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. Paul says, for this reason, we are a dwelling place. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are being built into a house of God. When we come together as a church, we reflect the glory and the presence of God. When a sinner comes into the presence of a church, they should be convicted of their sin. Not handed a donut and a cup of coffee and saying everything's okay. Come on, someone. See, when we look in the mirror of the church has bought the lie. It bought the lie back in the 90s in this nation. We said, well, nobody's coming to church anymore, so we got to make it look more like the world. Let's put a coffee shop in the foyer. Let's have donuts. Let's have fellowship. Let's be more like the world. And let's shorten, you know, services down to 50 minutes. Smorgasbord Christianity, if you want to know, save for an extra class. Instead of praying that the conviction of God would come upon people and their lives would change because they're in the presence of God, not in the presence of Starbucks. Living stones. Verse 9 says in 2 Peter, 1 Peter 2, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. When is that proclamation? The proclamation is to those that are still in darkness. When they come in our presence, they see light. It's going the opposite way that the church has gone into the dark. We've allowed dark things in the church. We've compromised God's word. We've turned the light switch off to be more acceptable to men. See? And what's happened is we've filled the pews, but we've got a bunch of dead people filling the pews. The church needs to cooperate with the Spirit of God in agreeing with Him and looking in the mirror of what God says we are. We're not lacking in any good thing, see? We are a chosen generation. This generation of believers receiving the truth that we have been chosen. And if we receive that, it will change everything. It will change the way we do church. We come together, we're a formidable force to deal with. When we have people coming in, a formidable force, that they would know that God exists. It's like going to the mountain. It's like being in the holy place. Somebody walks in and knows that the Spirit of God is now dealing with their eternal soul. No question, see. The early church, everybody that came near them was changed. Those that were still trying to make up their minds, fear came upon them when they were on Solomon's porch. Because they knew that was where God, that was like being the Holy of Holies. That was like having the curtain ripped and the Holy of Holies being right there when you walked by a Christian. Peter walked by and said, "Silver and gold have I none." He was just doing what everybody could do. It wasn't about Peter. It was about the presence of the Holy Spirit inside Peter. Come on, somebody. He looked in the mirror, knew who he was. Scripture says you're a royal priesthood. Do you know that royalty is conferred, not selected? You have to be born into it. Somebody doesn't walk up in England and say, "I'd like to be the king. Here's my resume. Make me a king." No, you have to, they check your lineage. They want to know where you came from. Who was your mother, father? Who was your grandparents? Who was your great, 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 great grandparents? What lineage you could, what house are you from? What royalty are you? You are a royal priesthood. That's you. Don't point to somebody else and say they're, you know, the man and woman of God. Look in the mirror of the Word. You're a royal priesthood. Royalty belongs to the Holy Family, and we are part of that. When we speak, it's as if Jesus is speaking. Come on, someone. We need a revelation of that, folks. See, we get scared, we cry out, "Jesus, come and rescue me, Jesus, come and help me, Jesus, come and rebuke the enemy for me." And Jesus said, "I've already rescued you, I've already helped you, and you have the authority to rebuke the devil yourself. Rebuke him and he'll flee." He's not out there somewhere, he's in here, he's changing us, he's speaking through us. Not only are we a chosen generation and a royal priesthood, but we're a holy nation. This goes far beyond our influence, impact, and rule here on this earth. We are part of an eternal nation. That's where the strength is. And that's another thing that's been robbed in our generation. People sit at home and call themselves the church because they've got TV in front of them. We've rocked thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of young people asleep. This conference was a great conference, great conference. I take nothing away from it. 60 to 70%, probably more, were 50 or older. We've shut this younger generation out. We've got to call them back. We need them. See, we need them. They've been fooled into believing they can get all they can get from a TV, from a YouTube, from a something. And when they run into problems and the enemy attacks them like he attacks every Christian. Come on, somebody. When you don't have people around you to help you and you're not submitted to people, he'll pick them off one at a time. That's why the local church is so very important. We're a holy nation. We are His people and His family. We are corporately the holy temple of Almighty God. Paul goes on to say that he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Prisoner, demios, a captive. How does that compare to Christ making us free? He made us free. Now we want to be a prisoner again. You cannot, you've got to volunteer to be a prisoner of Christ. That's a step that God is asking every one of us to take in that mirror that we're looking at. God says, yes, I'm your Lord, I'm your Savior. Now I want you to be my prisoner. I want to move through you. I want to use you in this hour. Every one of us is getting that call. Exodus chapter 21. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. The difference between a slave and a bond servant. In Jerusalem, if you saw a slave with an earring in his ear, you knew he was a bond slave, somebody that had chosen to be an indentured servant. That's a choice you only can make with Christ. Paul made himself a prisoner of Christ that he may set the captives free. The prisoners in the United States should be so blessed to be a prisoner. Be a prisoner of Christ means you have all that heaven has. To be a prisoner of Christ, it means you have sweet relationship with Holy Spirit. To be a prisoner of Jesus Christ is to be completely have authority over everything the enemy throws at you, because you are now filled with and serving Jesus Christ. We should be so blessed as to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. We are a prisoner, again, by choice. When He made us free, that means we are free to make our own choice. God will not force us to serve Him. He'll just not do it. Being a prisoner of Christ is a sacred step. It's coming to a place where you say, God, I see myself as you see me in your mirror, and I want to serve you with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. It means that the remainder of your life, you are not your own. You willingly give yourself over to Christ for His use, and you are at His beck and call. And we take pause when we think about that because we say, well, what about my rights? You've never been so free as to be that freedom. You've never tasted freedom like that. Because God will owe you nothing. He'll give you everything that you need pertaining to life and godliness. He'll give you everything that you need to receive physically, spiritually, mentally. Prosperity will be something that is yours. Come on, someone. That's the generation that God is looking for, because we filled this mirror with all kinds of things. When we look and see what a Christian is, it's become so distorted in our world. A Christian is somebody that has all this stuff. A Christian is somebody that... No, a Christian is somebody that's filled with Christ and a prisoner of God being used by Him, and He'll supply everything else. That is what this world is looking for. You do it for others. Where when you are free, you want others to be free as well. Your choice whether you want to minister to them or not. But when you become a prisoner of Christ, you want others to be taken captive by His Spirit. You want others to be prisoners as well. Come on, someone. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen this morning. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace which was given to me for you. Grace is that powerful tool against the enemy and the strength of God to experience victory. We become experts at returning from defeat. We need to be experts at walking in victory. Come on, somebody. No more defeat. See, something has to rise up within you and say, no more defeat for me. So come on, no more defeat for me. Come on, no more defeat for me. See, we could lead, we could teach a class. We could teach a college class on defeat. No more defeat. Victory is coming. See, I'm looking in the mirror of God's will for me, and I'm going to walk in victory from now on. That's a resolve that needs to raise up inside. It's the grace given us. The enemy will attack, but the battle is already won. No, we're not going to win it. Or we're going to win the battle we're going into. No, the battle that we go into has already been won by Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Grace given to us. Paul says, dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you. Others will assist you. Body of Christ will help you. They will believe for you when you are weak and under attack. That's the whole thing. We are just alike. When you're under attack, I do warfare for you. When I'm under attack, you do warfare for me. And we walk victoriously. It's not that we never have a battle again. It's that every battle we go into has already been won. So we get free as soon as we can. What we do, oftentimes we succumb to it. We look in the mirror of the world saying, well, you know, I was raised this way, or this is my weakness, and I'm going to fall again. And no, I'm not going to fall again. I'm not weak. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Come on, somebody. We need to stand beside one another and be strong. Convey God's grace to one another. See, there's power in the local church for victory that is consistent and reproducible. See, it's one thing to have two or three people that walk around saying, I'm always walking in victory, and the rest of us jealous of that. See, but God says we can all walk in victory. I call it egg carton Christianity. The enemy gets us to think that we are the only ones that have ever had to go through this. Oh, if people only knew what I'm going through. We do know. And we need to go through it together. Don't be ashamed. Say, man, I am being attacked from the enemy in the area of lust. I'm being attacked from the enemy in the area of pride. Being attacked from the enemy in these things. Will you help me? And instead of judging one another, we say, you better believe I'll help you. We're going to stand against that. You're going to get the victory. Praise God. He is so worthy. He's so worthy. I thank you, Christ. You're so worthy that you gave us the victory. Amen. Verse 3 and 4. How that by revelation you made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly spoken, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 1:9 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And then 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. The mystery is no longer a mystery. It's been revealed to us. Amen. Revealed to us through Holy Spirit. Yes. I don't know how many times I've gone, because I'm just stubborn. Maybe you're not. I'll talk about me now. See, pick on me. I'm stubborn. I've been walking with the Lord a long time, but I still think I can handle things on my own. God, I got this. I've been around you long enough and just going to emulate you. God says, no, you can't go anywhere without me. Holy Spirit is telling me the way out. I'm trying to figure the way out. When I finally come, you know, you can only hit your head to the wall so many times it starts to hurt. And God says, now, if you'll stop banging your head against the wall, I'll let you know how to get out of this mess. The Holy Spirit is faithful. Mystery has been revealed to us through Holy Spirit. It is always revelation and never common knowledge. See, we want common. We want just common sense knowledge. Common sense knowledge is worldly knowledge that will always fail. Come on, somebody. See, the problem with the world is it always wants to go back. It's always a circle. Go back. Go back and experience. Go back. You failed here. Go back. We don't, people that have done sins 20 years ago, the world is saying, well, look what they did 20 years ago. They're not worthy to serve public office. Or we can't trust them anymore. And the world goes in circles. But life is a linear line. It just goes straight ahead. We can't get the past back, folks. If you can, please see me afterwards. I'll pay you anything that you want to go back and change things. If that works for you, you need to come up here and tell us how that works. There isn't a person in this room who wouldn't drain their bank account to go back and change things that they did stupidly. Come on, somebody. But the enemy keeps telling us, we have to go back. We have to go back. We have to go back. There's no going back. Paul the apostle killed people, had them thrown in jail. Said, forgetting those things behind, I press on. That's the knowledge that God wants us to have. The mystery has been revealed. See, the tree of life is the person of Jesus Christ. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is information gathered without Christ. Eve, when the enemy asked Eve, he said, has God really said? Eve had to go back and think things. Whether God was talking to Adam and Adam told Eve, or they both heard the command together. The word is not real clear on, but Eve had to go back and think. And because she couldn't think, the enemy said, has God really said? She looked at the fruit of the tree of knowledge and said, this is a fruit that's desirable to have knowledge. So we go to the world and we count the world. Listen, the worldly system is run by Satan and cannot be trusted. And to the extent that the church or the Christian has trusted the worldly system, we failed. Come on, somebody. We'd rather have somebody come and sit for weeks and weeks and months and months and weeks and weeks and months and months and talk about all the things that they're weak about. Tell us how you're weak. When the Word of God says, lay hands on them and cast those demons out. Come strong again in the Lord. Instead of talking about, oh, well, this and that. Come on, someone. Word of God is very clear. The mystery has been revealed. I am no longer what the world says that I am. I'm not looking in the mirror of the world or the mirror of my flesh. I'm looking in the mirror of God Almighty. False religion capitalizes on the fruit of the tree of knowledge. It holds us captive. Or lets us believe, rocks us to sleep, lets us believe that we can hold on to sinful practices and still receive Christ. True faith has its foundation solidly in the tree of life. Everything is filtered through Jesus Christ, and we see very clearly through His mirror. Through His mirror. Verse 5 says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. One of the things we've been talking about lately is the resurgence of fivefold ministers that are happening. We're once again going full circle to the upper room. We're going full circle to realize that the fivefold ministry is so very important to the church. Locally, nationally, internationally. Come on, someone. But they must be confirmed by others and have a history of submission and servanthood. Imagine with me, if you will, going down to the corner of 9th and Main and having somebody butchering cows there and just giving you the meat. How many would buy from them? Don't know anything about them. Don't know where the meat came from. But we do it all the time. Somebody sounds official, so we say, well, that must be God. And all it is slop. So apostles and prophets are very important. Apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. But they must be known. They must be known. They must have a history of being known by people that can be trusted. Come on, someone. Churches miss the full impact of the word by denying present truth. And present truth is there's order in the church. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher releases the gifts. They do not hold the gifts to themselves. They're not wanting to be worshiped. They're wanting to come and move. See, if the apostolic, the fivefold ministry is underneath the body of Christ, pushing it up so it grows into the head, Jesus Christ. It's not taking anything away. I can't emphasize enough how very important it is for you to pray before you just buy meat from the corner. It's poison. And it's poison to the body of Christ. Man, prophets and evangelists are a dime a dozen. Get on YouTube, you can find them. Sound official. Especially when they quote King James English. Ow. The pattern set forth in Acts is a blueprint for us. It's not a suggestion. If you're reading with us, we're in the book of Acts right now. The pattern in the book of Acts was the way God wanted it to be. You'll notice, you go back and study Moses. When Moses went on the mountain, and he was 40 days on the mountain. What do you think he was doing? Anybody have any idea? Well, what else was he doing?
The Lord getting instructions.
What was he getting instructions about?
To do what he had to do.
He was taking a tour. God said, build it according to the pattern I showed you on the mountain. God says, come here. I want to show you what the ark is supposed to look like. I want to show you what the Holy of Holies is. I want to show you what the tabernacle is going to look like. Its dimensions, everything that's part of it. Why? Because he saw a pattern in heaven. The pattern in the book of Acts is the pattern that we're supposed to follow. The church has left that and tried to fit square pegs into round holes. They don't fit. Enough said about that. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ. Hallelujah. Through the gospel. No one is exempt. The love here must be exported to the world. Everyone deserves salvation. Not everyone will accept, but everyone deserves salvation. Why? Because Christ said they do. The pattern set forth in Acts, again, is the blueprint. It must encompass all. Even those who reject Christ must be preached to. The last breath in their bodies, they may come. As long as somebody's upright and breathing, especially Nancy Pelosi. See, all are heirs. The whole entire body of Christ, whether it's the Baptist that insists on King James only, or it's the Pentecostal that speaks more in tongues than they do in English, there's equality. There's a price to pay for unity, and that means I'm submitted to you. You're submitted to me. Come on. We are fellow heirs, true brothers and sisters. We defend, we help, we love, and nurture one another, and we reach out to all. The Bible says that we're partakers together. The promise is for all. The promise is in Christ. All Christ promises for every person, every believer. And it doesn't matter what title we have. It's not about titles. We're all equal. We're all equal. This good news that we have is revelational. It reveals kingdom truths. It reveals Christ. Christ is manifest. Because really what God is after when we look in His mirror is to see Jesus looking back at us. He's making us to look exactly like Him. What's so funny? It reveals the course and the outcome of kingdom promises. Christ said this. He said, I'm coming back for a bride without spot, without blemish. How we ever bought the lie that Christ is coming back just to get us out of here. Oh, get us out of here. We're in bad shape. Rescue us. There's no rescue about it. When He comes, He's coming for a victorious bride. Paul ends up this passage talking about the effective working of His power. Power is dynamis, mighty work, strength, power, and ability. The power is resident within each one of us. If you've not tapped into that power, I encourage you to do so. Ask the Lord to show you how to use that power. Stand in front of the mirror of His Word and begin to quote Scripture. Don't you get beat up by the enemy. And if you need help, come. We'll help you. But you walk in consistent victory. That power is seen throughout our actions. In the Word of God, Jesus said, take up your bed, arise, come forth. There's action in that power. You will experience being used by God when you allow God to have access to you. One of the things I know about the Lord, He's a gentleman. He'll not force Himself on you. He'll allow you to look at the mirror and see who you really are and act on what you see. Love what Tim Sheets said. I think it was Tim or Barbara said, the last decade was a decade of seeing. Now we've moved into a decade of speaking what we saw. Look out. What do you think? Why is it so difficult to move in His power? What do you think holds us back from moving in His power? Someone? Obedience.
Doubt.
Doubt. That's a good one, huh? We doubt it's going to work.
Fear of making a mistake.
Yeah. Is that really God?
Man, we just have to take that leap of faith. Faith, you're not going to see anything. You're not supposed to. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things
not seen.
Not seen.
And so what if we make a mistake? Not the end of the world. You're in good company when you make mistakes. Like the guy said, you know, he said, I only made one mistake, and that's when I thought I made a mistake. You'll get that later. What are the limits of a prisoner of Christ?
None. There are none.
Why not?
Prisoner has limitations, right?
No.
Well, let's think it through. What are the limits of the prisoner of Christ? There are limits.
Doubt.
The boundaries of where your master allows you to go.
What's that? Louder?
The boundary of where your master allows you to go.
What's that again?
The boundaries of where your master allows you to go.
Fences.
There's fences. There's things we can't do. Come on, somebody. Paul addresses that because with the revelation comes license. Paul says, do we use our liberty as a license to sin? May it never be. And that's what the enemy entices with. You're a prisoner of Christ. You have everything. You can do what you want.
Fences is God's love.
It really is.
I love it. Everybody hear that? Fences is God's love. So what's it mean to be free in Christ? What's it mean to have freedom in Jesus Christ? We talked about being a prisoner. What's it mean to be free?
Not to be explained, but to be lived.
Yeah. I like it. Not to be explained, to be lived.
You don't have any fear, or you don't need to have any fear.
No fear. What else?
Release from your prison.
Pardon me?
Release from your jail and the doors open and the things that bound you are suddenly gone.
Able to be all that God's called you to be.
Amen. What about the mystery of Christ? Somebody explain the mystery of Christ. What's that mean? You heard what I said, but what do you think the mystery of Christ is to this world?
Serve others.
How can you go forward without looking back?
Be a sacrifice for love, gaining nothing.
I'm sorry?
Be a sacrifice for love and gaining nothing.
And yet gaining everything.
The Lord says that if you don't know Christ, that everything about what we're saying about him is a mystery to you. And as you come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the truth is revealed.
Yes. Nobody has done anything that's too bad for Jesus to forgive.
That's right. Amen.
That's the mystery. The biggest mystery. Because, man, we have had things done. There's not a person in this room that hasn't had something terrible done to you and you find it hard to forgive. It's the easiest thing Jesus can do is forgive that wrong. I mean, for Pete's sake, he's hanging on the cross, hasn't done anything. Never harmed anyone. Only did good, healed everybody he came in contact with. And they nailed him to a tree. He had every right to say, God, may you rain terror upon Jerusalem. Nobody would have blamed him. Nobody. If the story were changed, he was hanging on a cross and say, this generation will suffer for what it's done to me this day. Everybody said, right on. You're right. This generation should suffer for what they did to you, our Lord and Savior. We rush past it. We celebrate it Easter. We talk about it. But what he said out of his lips was the most powerful thing. It's really what rattled hell. See, when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," it rattled hell. It blew hell's mind. Here it is. We've got him where we want him. He's hanging on a cross. He's dying. He's no good. Everything he did fell apart. No. That forgiveness was what released the sin off of humankind. Released the sin off of humankind. He wasn't just talking to the people that crucified him. He was talking about all of mankind. Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Which is why we forgive others.
Yes.
And they deserve not to be forgiven.
Yeah.
They deserve not to be forgiven, but we forgive them anyway. And that releases us.
Yes.
It releases them.
That's a good word.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for the tremendous forgiveness that you've given us. Thank you for the awesome forgiveness you have for the world. God, just now we're thinking about people that don't deserve to be forgiven. In our eyes, they've hurt us, they've lied, they've cheated, they've stolen, they've did whatever, God. And they continue down that path. Lord, the Nancy Pelosi's of this world. Father, but you died for them. Jesus, you died on the cross and stretched out your arms and said, "Forgive them." Father, we release all of that to you, God. We thank you that the mystery has been revealed in our lives, oh God. That we would not walk or talk or act like the world. That we would not take any fruit from the tree of knowledge. But that, Lord, we would suck all the life out of the tree of life that we can possibly get, God. So that our life might reflect yours, dear Jesus. That we'd walk and talk like you. God, thank you for what you've made. You made a way for us, God. You made a way of victory for us, Lord. May the mirror that we gaze into be the mirror of freedom. And we won't forget to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.